Church. It's Mary and Brian and Jimmy coming to you over the radio waves. I want to wish you a happy, happy Easter. We are picturing you in your cars and your trucks, loading up families or hopping in your vehicle on your own with your windows rolled up, tuning into KMTN. So really grateful that you would join us this way. I want to say that I know that it's hard. I know it's different to have an Easter where we are not all cram-packed into our beautiful church together, looking at everything from puffy jackets with patches on them to seersucker and bow ties and bonnets. But this is the Easter that has landed on our doorstep this year, and so we're going to go with it. We have a great 45 minutes or so planned for you as you're moving around the valley looking at expressions of love that have been designed by our families just for you. So happy Easter, and we'll get started here with a little wonderful Easter music and then join in on our service. Okie doke, over and out.
Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, who through your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, overcame death and opened to us the gate of everlasting life, grant that we who celebrate with joy the day of the Lord's resurrection may be raised from the death of sin by your life-giving Spirit, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture, that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" But Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
So I've been hearing from so many of my colleagues, and I know that all of us are somewhere in between this sheltering in place or sheltering at home and quarantining, but I've heard from so many of my colleagues about how interesting Easter will be this year in light of this darn pandemic that we're experiencing. And the thing that I'm hearing from them is that, yeah, Jesus will rise again, but maybe just a little later than usual. And at first, I think I held the same opinion, and maybe we even talked about it a bit together, but that position of Jesus will rise again, but maybe a little bit later this year, is not the Easter anthem. It's not our song at Easter and our song every other day of the year. Our song every day, maybe with the exception of Good Friday, is Christ is risen, the living Christ, our brother Jesus, the shepherd of the great flock, the beginning and the end, is among us yesterday, today, and and tomorrow. And of course, I would acknowledge from the get-go that we tell the story each year as we follow the calendar. By choice, we re-enter this passion play in its fourth act so that we can experience again this fresh and loving nature of a God who walks among us and embodies care and tenderness and loving kindness and compassion and humility and gentleness and serenity, a God who embodies love, who in fact is love. That's the way that we talk about God at St. John's. God is love. And of course, we're echoing that fourth chapter of 1 John. Absolutely, we are. But we're also echoing what we see and what we feel is holy and sacred. And principally, that's love. So there's this story that we enter into by choice. At first, it's not a pretty one. It's disappointing at its softest side. It's tragic. It's violent. It's scandalous until its ending. Then, now, and always, or at least since then, the ending of the story washes away the dark. The light at the end of the story covers the darkness. To use that religious language, it redeems the darkness. But to use just everyday language that we use, it's the resurrection that makes this all okay. And so, just to start out our conversation here, I'm turning to you, Brian and Mary, and I'd ask y'all what you think about this reality of Christ is risen. It's not something that happened. It's something that's happening yesterday, today, and tomorrow, even in quarantine. How do you see that? How do you see Christ is risen?
I think of a little bit of what we were talking about on Good Friday, which is the sense that God is with us in the resurrection and always with us. So it's not something that happened or is going to happen. It is in the present that God is in our hearts and God, the Holy Spirit, is all around us. And that is what gives us that sense of hope and ability to weather the difficult times. So it's not a once and over sort of a thing. It is an always thing, and that presence of God's love is with us all the time. I was talking to Tom Kettner the other day. I think you all know Tom. And he said, you know, on Saturday morning, the disciples woke up and their God was gone. Mm. And it wasn't until the resurrection that their God returned. And never in our lifetime have we had to wake up in the morning and God just be gone. We might feel that God's gone, but God's never left us. God's always with us.
Yeah, I love that. And I love the dual nature of the resurrection, because we believe that it was a historical event. Mm-hmm. It did happen. Good Friday, Jesus was crucified. Sunday morning, he rose. So it's an event that happened in history, but it is also an event that is happening now. You know, not just yesterday, not just today, not tomorrow, but like right now, mm-hmm. in this moment. Which is where we live, right? Which is where the only place that we can have relationship with one another. It's the only place that we can have relationship with God or Jesus. And this moment is sacred and beautiful. And not only on Easter morning, but every moment, every passing moment. And so my experience of the risen Christ is a very immediate
mm-hmm. tied
experience,
mm-hmm.
tied to the present moment. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's this element to our faith, or an aspect of our faith, that many Episcopalians shy away from, but it's here at Easter in such a big way. And I'll just use the word outright because it's so threatening to so many Episcopalians, but the word is evangelism. But in using it, I want to be clear, and I want to take the word back a little bit, take it back from those whose attitudes around evangelism center around this idea, and maybe in an exaggerated way, but this idea of convert or be damned, or see things the way that we see them, or be cast out or burned up, to use some of that old fiery Pentecostal language. Say what we say, do what we do, or you're no longer in, you're no longer acceptable. I want to take evangelism back from those attitudes. And I want to do it because simply because they're unloving. And if unloving, then certainly not of God, who we know to be love, right? That's how we talk about God at St. John. So let's not even call that evangelism gone wrong. Let's just call it mean. That's tribalism, and it's not about love. And we're not about tribalism. So there, if there's this part of Easter that we just talked about, Christ is risen. And if we have this opportunity, this chance to see the risen Christ at work among us, and that's what we've been doing over the course of Lent, seeing things through a loving lens. So we have this chance to see the risen Christ at work among us. And we do have this chance. We just talked about it. But God in loving action among us, then evangelism is almost as simple as just seeing. Just what we were talking about of how do we see the risen Christ. So if at first our job as people of faith is to see, then there's this evangelical component that we might talk about as show. It's as simple as that. Hey, look over there. You know, there's that Boy Scout walking that woman across the street. That's what I call God. See that fireman getting the kitty off the roof. That's what I call God. See those folks in our church parking lot passing out bags of food to make sure that people who are hungry are not going to be hungry any longer. See her. That's our sister Jesus passing that bag. Look at that guy with an armful of coats coming for those cold kiddos. You know, there he is, capital H, he. There he is again. So back to y'all, Mary and Brian. If you could show people anything, and I mean, if you were really wanting to show someone that Christ is risen, if you were going to show someone the living, risen Christ here in Jackson, Wyoming, what would you show them?
As I was driving up to the church from south of town today, out on the Lockhart Ranch, there are calves. Today, and I've been driving past that field every day waiting to see some calves out there. And today I saw them. A few, a handful of calves. You know, I mean, for me, I love all those examples you gave, Jimmy, of people helping other people, people showing love and care for one another. But I also, we're so fortunate to live where we live because Christ is not only present in the people that we have relationship with. Christ, for me, is present in creation, too. And I love the fact that there are calves once again in the field today, and that the aspen trees now have these sticky, swollen buds on them.
Yeah.
And the snow has almost melted, and not today, but soon the grass is going to start getting green again, and the days are going to start getting warm. And I mean, when I look around this valley, at Easter time, especially in the springtime, and things are coming back to life and greening up instead of white, that to me shows Jesus's love and God's love to all of creation, which we're so embedded in and such a part of.
I think especially right now, I love the way that you talk about that, Brian, because we are in a time of fear and isolation, and the fact that the world just keeps going on and doing what it's supposed to do, and flowers are blooming and babies are being born and all of those things, is that hope of creation and the hope of you know, life continuing is really important. I think we get very focused on what's happening in the here and now, which is a little bit scary. Mm-hmm. When you give the examples, there are so many examples around this community of people who are just showing up in any way that they can, and it looks really different from how we were able to show up for each other a month ago. Mm-hmm. But they're still showing up. And still loving one another. And I think this is a time, it's a little bit of a test about where this takes us as a people. And are we going to continue to be loving to one another? Or are we going to further isolate ourselves? And I think we're being called to love each other more and harder and in more creative ways. And I see all around us in this community people rising to that challenge and really amazing, like I said, creative, extraordinary ways.
And I know that we're not finished yet here, because I know that the practice of faith is not just about seeing and showing, or that Easter is not just about seeing and showing. And I'm remembering Paul telling the church in Galatia, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives within me. Or the number of times that Jesus says things like, okay, now you do it. Okay, here, you do it. Or even that, you know, that exaggerated version of like, you will do even greater things than me. That they're embodying the living Christ or the risen Christ in our lives is our mission, being the risen Jesus. We are the eyes and the ears and the heart and the mind and the shoulder and the back and the strong legs of Jesus in the world today. I'm wondering if y'all can give an example of how you see that in your own life, or maybe in the life of someone you're close to, embodying the risen Christ. Are you seeing it?
Yes, I am. When I look at the TV or any of my screens, I see almost a panic and fear and negativity everywhere I look. And yet, when I talk to my family and friends, everyone is calm. Nobody's freaking out. Everybody seems to have a sense that together, even though separated, that we are going to come through this time together. And you all, my church family, I'm just feeling this sense that we got this thing, you know? And I am so grateful for that. That's the risen Christ talking to me through all of you.
Well, and I think we are in these little microcosms, you know, mostly spending time with our families, and we get frazzled and we get we bicker at one another, but we laugh a lot. And there's a lot of joy. There's music that is playing more in our home now than ever before, and I feel like there's this sense of, like you're saying, we're going to get through this and we're going to be stronger and better in so many ways. I mean, I think some of the things that we're doing now as experiments to get through this are going to blossom and become new ways of doing things. And I think continuing with the joyfulness of life, and I see that in my children in particular. And it keeps me going.
So at Easter we have this work of seeing. How do we see that Christ is risen? Where are we seeing the living Christ. We have this work of showing. How can we point out to our brothers, our sisters, our siblings? How can we point it out when we see it? There it is. There it is. That's God to me. And then there's this aspect of being the risen Christ, finding ways that match our personalities and match our desires and our dreams and our imagination, that we would be love spreaders in this world. So we have this call yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and we have it during Easter and Lent and during Advent and Pentecost and every other day of the year, whether we're together or whether we're together apart, weathering this pandemic. This is the work of the Jesus follower, and the work of the Jesus follower is the collective work of the church. You know, I want you to know, I want you to see the risen Christ. I want to see it in you. We already do. You know, I think if we could say something to our church today from the radio waves, I would say, I see it. I see the risen Christ in you. I see it in your generosity, in your service. I mean, we have a million emails every day of like, please give me something to do. Put me to work. Help me serve. I also see the risen Christ in your willingness to stay home, to protect those you know and love, and to protect those you don't know. I'm sheltering in place so that this virus doesn't get worse and spread, especially to those who are vulnerable. So I would just say to you out there, church, we're wishing you a happy Easter, and we are giving you a call to action, to look and to show and to be. And I would just remind you of the mission that is before us. And we cover this valley with love, like the snow covers it in the wintertime. And the snow is melting, that's for sure, but the love won't. So look and show and be the risen Christ in this community and beyond. Happy Easter, everybody. Amen.
Amen.
All right, St. John, so we're going to give you a little something different this week, and we're going to continue it on week after week. Hopefully not week after week after week after week, but we're going to continue this piece of our worship together in the weeks going forward while we are still apart. And what I'm going to give you is a little bit of homework. If our kiddos are going to school at home, then I figure that we can go to work as a church at home too. So we're going to add a practical application piece each week until we get back together. So many of you right now are in your cars or trucks driving around this valley, and you are firsthand witnesses of these expressions of love that have been made by so many St. John's families. Families have come together over the past week, somewhat secretly, to think creatively and lovingly about what to show you on Easter Sunday morning, because we couldn't do this face to face. And I know that I can't wait to see them all, but I'm going to give each of us a piece of homework this week, each of us individually, and then of course we're all doing it collectively as a church. So your homework this week is to create at least one expression of love, each of us. Each of us is challenged to find a way to create some sort of expression of love that is to be passed on, that is to be given away. And maybe it's as simple as a text to a loved one. Hey, I'm thinking about you this week. Miss seeing you face to face. I love you. Maybe it's as complicated as a card for a stranger, that grocery worker who's checked out your groceries so faithfully and lovingly during this crisis. Whatever it is, whatever you can dream up, just do it. Just one, at least one. maybe more if you get into it, but at least one. And we will make a commitment to try to figure out a way to begin to capture some of these stories, some of these acts of love that you're doing. Maybe it will provide even more loving ideas downstream for all of us. So you think you can do that? I know you can do that. Embody the faith, do it lovingly, do it creatively. That's your homework for this week.
Now recite together the Nicene Creed. If you are driving, please do it from memory.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit,
He became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. At this heavenly choirs of angels rejoice, the earth exults, and Mother Church is glad. Therefore, I ask you, who praise the loving kindness of Almighty God, to join in prayer for all of God's people and for all people everywhere, according to their needs, that all may know the benefits of the paschal victory of Christ. We pray saying, O God, in your goodness, hear our prayer.
Almighty and merciful God, we give you thanks for those who have come through the waters of rebirth into the promised land of your eternal kingdom. Guide all your people who struggle to know and to do your will in the kingdoms of this world, that by their lives they may show forth the new life in Christ to all nations. O God, in your goodness,
hear our prayer.
We give you thanks for those who struggle for peace and justice in the world. Guide their efforts, that they may act with prudence and vision to plant the signs of your dominion in the earth. O God, in your goodness,
hear our prayer. We give you thanks that Mary Magdalene found healing in the encounter with the risen Christ. Give wholeness and peace to all those in need, the sick, the unloved and the forgotten, the poor and the hungry, the dying and the bereaved. O God, in your goodness,
hear our prayer.
For the special needs and concerns of this congregation, especially those on our parish prayer list and those we hold dear in our heart. O God, in your goodness,
hear our prayer.
We give you thanks for the abiding presence of your Son in word and sacrament. As we feast this Easter day on the true bread from heaven, set our minds on things above, that we may gain a new perspective on things that are on earth. O God, in your goodness,
hear our prayer.
We give you thanks for those who have gone before us in the faith, who now rest from their labors, awaiting the resurrection of eternal life. May we, like them, remain faithful to the end and share in the fruits of the victory of Christ, the Paschal Lamb who takes away the sin of the world. O God, in your goodness,
hear our prayer.
We pray for our partner parishes, the Church of St. John the Evangelist in Hastings, England, and Santa Maria Magdalena in Favorito, Cuba. In our own Diocese of Wyoming, we pray for discernment. We pray that we may discern how we might serve the people in the Diocese of Wyoming. We also pray for Michael, our presiding bishop, John, our bishop, and for all bishops and other ministers, for all who serve God in his church. O God, in your goodness,
hear our prayer.
Hear our prayers on behalf of those for whom we pray, and give us peace in this time of our Paschal rejoicing. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our risen and exalted Lord.
Amen.
May our hearts feel the song of the meadowlark, our minds the clearness of the mountain air, and our souls the freedom of the soaring eagle. May our faith be renewed as the creek in spring. May we celebrate the saving redemption of the cross in all its mysteries. May we always feel the love of the community of Christ, and may the blessing of God Almighty, Creator, Redeemer, and Giver of life be upon you and remain with you forever.
Amen.
Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Nothing.